Well, we're back, and this is Karen Testerman with Smart Girl Politics. And on the phone, we have Brad Brandon, who is a self-identified libertarian conservative. And, Brad, just before we went to break, you were talking about your activities with the marriage amendment. But I thought that libertarians didn't think the government should be involved in marriage.
Well, I'm sure that there are plenty of libertarians out there who would take issue with me on my activities in the marriage amendment here in Minnesota. But let me explain my perspective and where I come from. That I do identify as a libertarian. I appreciate what the Republican Party has done, but I have a lot of issues with the Republican Party. One of which you touched on earlier with Todd Akin, but maybe we could cover that another time. When I look at it, I look at the United States Constitution. And I see that as the overriding law and rule of the land. And so amongst the people, there's this diversity among us all. And I know that's a bad word these days. But you know what I mean. There's all kinds of different people.
I agree with you, and I think we ought to take our language back a little bit more.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, but we all have one thing in common, and that is that we are under this rule of law. And when I look at the issue of marriage, and maybe you and I would disagree on this. We probably would, because I'm kind of stuck in the middle on this one. I'm against any federal initiatives to try to protect marriage, because I see that as unconstitutional. I see that as just as unconstitutional as government health care, just as unconstitutional as Social Security, public education. The Tenth Amendment of the United States Constitution makes it very clear that anything that is not specifically identified and mentioned in the Constitution then should be left to the respective states. That is, the Tenth Amendment is essentially the pivot, the hinge, in which states' rights are hung. And so, although I disagree with laws like DOMA, although there is a part to DOMA that I agree with in that it protects the states from having to recognize marriages from other states, overriding, I disagree with DOMA, a federal initiative, a federal marriage redefining amendment in the Constitution. I reject those as unconstitutional, because I think what our founding fathers saw is the importance of states' rights and giving the state the right to choose on those individual ideas. And so when I became involved with the marriage amendment here in the state of Minnesota, I did so in full accordance with my libertarian beliefs, because I believe that there is nothing wrong with the state and local governments getting involved with marriage. How can you not have the state and local governments being involved with marriage? For example, I believe that marriage is a covenant. From a religious standpoint, I believe that. But from a governmental standpoint, I believe that marriage is a contract in that respect. And the government's job, essentially, is to protect life and property from aggressors, both foreign and domestic. And so when you look at that local government protecting property in marriage, protecting children in that contract that's developed in marriage, and again, I don't believe that marriage is a contract from a religious standpoint. I'm speaking purely governmental. It is a contract that you enter into with somebody, and there's property involved, taxes, children, inheritance involved, all kinds of things. The government is so pleached in marriage right now that it would be impossible to separate that. And I don't think there's a need to separate that on the local state level. But I would completely reject any federal initiative to try to protect marriage. I think that is the very thing in which conservatives sometimes welcome the idea of trampling the Constitution, because it's in line with their beliefs. And that's not the philosophy that I operate under. Just because it goes with my beliefs doesn't mean that I can trample the Constitution. I don't think that's what the Founding Fathers intended.
Well, I think you articulated that very well, and I would go even further to say that it is the responsibility of the people to protect life, because that is one of the primary tenets upon which the country was founded. When we issued the Declaration of Independence, we said that those were rights that came from God, that they're yes. inalienable, that they cannot be removed by any man. And I do think that when people are out here saying that we shouldn't be involved in it, that yes, we should, because that's the one thing that we are supposed to be protecting, and that the source of that life is through the joining of a man and a woman together. And it doesn't matter whether you're a same-sex couple trying to get children or whatever, you still have to have that male and female gene pool in order to get the conception that is the potential human life, that it does create that human life. So, and I think it's the responsibility of state government, especially, to be protecting yep. that. And that's where we've gone amiss, is we've decided that we can do it better and we know better than God does. And so we're going to now choose who can live and who can't live, as well as who can marry and who can't marry.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And you know, I think, too, along those same lines, when you talk about life, and it makes me think of abortion. I'm completely in favor of life, unborn life, being protected on a federal level. I think that's the job of the Constitution and the federal government. But I also think that there's sort of libertarians, and I know libertarians very well, obviously, because I identify as one, but I'm a little different than them. Sometimes I make them very mad. And just because I want people to think, if I can get somebody to think about something from a different perspective, then I feel as if I've done my job. But among libertarians, there's this idea that government is sort of this entity that is off in the distance trying to control the people. In our country, we have something very unique in that the government is the people. And so when you talk about marriage being defined and protected at the state level, you know, even libertarians look at that and say, well, government, even at the state level, shouldn't have anything to do with it. But yet, fundamentally speaking, government, especially, particularly on the state and local level, it is the people. And I love, you know, I was watching a lecture by Milton Friedman. If you're not familiar with who he is, he's a hero among libertarians, a great economist. And he was at a congressional committee giving a lecture there. And he said, this was back in, I think it was 2003, shortly before he passed away, 2003, something like that. And he said that the economic problems that we are having in our country are not derived from the economy. He went as far as to literally say that they are derived from the moral decay of our country. And this coming from the, you know, the hero of libertarians. I wish more libertarians would really listen to what Milton Friedman was talking about there. I think he really hit on something. We're having the economic problems that we're having because we have, as you mentioned earlier, turned our back on morality and on God. And when you do that, there are all kinds of trickle-down consequences that happen. And I think a lot of people don't identify that.
Exactly. And one of the things that you touched upon was that there is a contract, civilly, not talking about marriage as a covenant, but talking about marriage as a contract. It is there civilly. And the primary reason that government gets involved is to protect those children and, in yes. essence, the woman in that relationship, so that they are financially taken care of. And when we instituted the no-fault divorce law, we in essence made it legal to break this contract. And it's yes. the only contract that it's legal to break.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely.
So it's very interesting how we end up in this conundrum. But then you've gone so far as to say that when we actually allow this destruction of the family unit between a man, a woman, and their children that come from that unit, that we are, in essence, growing government, which is an anti-libertarian concept.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is the great this is the great irony of the argument of libertarians from that perspective, that hard fastened perspective, is that if you're to legalize same sex marriage or have it recognized by the state, or everyone will put that into terms, imagine the initiatives that the government would have to take then to protect that. And then, as you mentioned, as the family begins to break down, look at the welfare programs that we have. The welfare programs that we have are so expansive. The Heritage Institution back in, when was it? I think it was 2001. They attributed it to basically two things. The expansive welfare program was attributed to fathers not being in the home, and parents not putting in more than 20 hours a week working. So that tells us that there's an issue here, that as the family begins to break down, those children and those women, as you mentioned, are going to look for the government for help. Because most of our private organizations and charities, except for some, of course, have now turned all of that over to the government, because the government has become so expansive in that area. And when you do that, this is the great thing, is that we have to identify dependency as a bad thing. And I think that is a fundamental shift in people's philosophy, is that they don't regard dependency as a bad thing. When you are dependent upon something else or somebody else, you're putting yourself in a position to be controlled by them. And that is a fundamental belief of libertarianism, is that dependency is a bad thing. And I completely agree with that. But I would, to libertarians who would say no government involvement whatsoever, even on the state level, I would really encourage them to stop looking at things from the way they think that they should be, and join the rest of us here in reality and look at things the way that they are. And there is no way that you're going to be able to separate government from marriage. It is just impossible on every level. So then the question becomes, then how much should the government be involved, and at what level? And I'm saying on a limited level, at the on a limited scale, on the state level.
Right, and when each state makes its own decisions about that, then, as we did in New Hampshire prior to the passing of the same-sex marriage law here, we had closed all of the loopholes that would force us to recognize a marriage that did not comply with the laws within the state of New Hampshire. And that, I agree with you, is fully within the responsibilities of the state. And actually, the dependency problem is probably at the core of what's going on in America today, because, and why our economic situation is as out of control as it is that we have bought into the Ponzi schemes of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and said that it's the government's responsibility to take care of us. No longer are we personally responsible to look in the future and say, and start to prepare for anything that might come up down the pipeline.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. I should add too, in that Ron Paul, obviously, who's an icon of the libertarians, put forth back in 2002 a bill that was called the Marriage Protection Act. And basically what that was a federal initiative to protect each individual state from the appellate jurisdiction of the United States Supreme Court. So basically what that is if a state says, no, we are going to define marriage between one man and one woman, under this act or in accordance with this act, even the Supreme Court of the United States would not be able to come in and usurp the sovereignty of that individual state. And that, I think, is a great thing that Ron Paul did. And a lot of libertarians, when I bring it up to them, they have no idea that he was actually a co-sponsor of that bill. But he essentially then is saying, yes, I believe that marriage should be defined between one man and one woman, and I'm going to put this act I'm going to submit this act or this bill so that each individual state can decide that without being interfered by even the Supreme Court of the United States. So that was a good federal initiative that he did put forth.
Well, you bring up the Supreme Court of the United States, and I kind of want to explore that with you a little bit further, because they have become an equal branch of the government. And as I read the Constitution, they're not supposed to be equal in any way.
Right. I totally agree with you. The Supreme Court has completely taken its position, and like all government, the tendency of government is to grow. And I think the Constitution was very clear that if we would follow that, we would counteract the natural course of government to grow and expand. I think we saw that no less in the most recent case that upset many conservatives and myself as well, was the healthcare initiative and the Supreme Court upholding that. It's interesting to see how, and I was thinking about this yesterday. I was at the Minnesota Law School here, the Walter Mondale Law School here at the University of Minnesota, and I was giving a lecture there. And I was thinking about this as I was walking through the law library. Evolution has permeated its way, the evolutionary philosophy has permeated its way even into the legal system under the guise of what we would call precedence now. Evolution basically puts forth that things get better with time. And when you go back and look at the beginning of the whole the legal theory of precedence, it only goes back to about the late 1800s when it started to be looked at as, oh, we can improve the law given time, given experience, we can expand it, we can make it better. And so that doesn't really tie into what you're saying. It's kind of a side note, but it's just interesting how evolution has made its way into every part of our culture, including the legal system, which I think ties into the Supreme Court in that, you know, they're no longer, any court really in this country, no longer looks at themselves as an entity to define the law, but to issue policy. And I think therein lies the fundamental difference, is that any court is not put in place to decide policy for the rest of the people.
Right.
That court is simply there to protect the property and the life and to protect the rule of law, the Constitution. And I think we've gotten far away from that.
Well, with that, we need to take another short break, Brad.
This is Karen Testerman. We've been talking with Brad Branson. And after a short break, we'll be back with We Hold These Truths on WLMW, New Hampshire's Family Radio.